Get ready for a journey into the heart of Bridgeport politics with In Absentia, a new podcast from Connecticut Public's investigative team, The Accountability Project. Learn about the city's past and present political dysfunction and the systems that enable it. Tune in wherever you get your podcasts.
Funding provided by Francisco L. Borges and the Melville Charitable Trust.
Hey, everybody. Thank you very much. This is Elvis from Connecticut Public Radio. You're listening to Audacious. Hello. I'm Ronald Reagan, and you're listening to...
This is Audacious. I'm going to let you off the hook. I'm Kyone Wolf, and clearly, even though I thought when I was a little kid that I was an expert at doing impressions, I now realize that I have a lot to learn. Because impressions, they're hard. You gotta nail the voice, really get the gestures, and adopt the persona of someone a lot of people know. So if you get it even a little bit wrong, everybody knows. But there are some truly gifted people in this world who have nailed impressions of famous people since they were kids. Today, you're going to meet two of the best in the business, comedians Mary Elizabeth Kelly and Dean Edwards. You'll hear Dean talk about his time as a cast member on Saturday Night Live, plus you'll hear what impression physically hurts him to do. But first, Mary Elizabeth Kelly grew up in Connecticut, and as a kid, she would make her parents laugh with her impressions. She started to develop a kind of antenna, picking up on mannerisms from Katharine Hepburn to Austin Powers characters. And the better her impressions got, the more laughter she heard. And laughter feels a lot like love. Flash forward to today, and Mary Elizabeth has more than 2 million followers loving her on social media. Her videos have titles like 25 Celebs Saying Wow, Celebs Go Grocery Shopping, and Top 12 Mouth Actors of All Time. But she's best known for impressions of celebrities like Drew Barrymore, Winona Ryder, and my personal favorite, Jennifer Coolidge.
I miss my mother, even though she was a big jerk. You look like the 4th of July. Makes me want a hot dog real bad.
I asked Mary Elizabeth about how she absorbs the nuances of the ways these famous people talk. Is her antenna, like, always on?
Yeah, constantly. I almost sort of feel like I'm like a medium or something. I'm just always paying attention to the sounds people make and the different ways people speak and the way people's mouths move. And yeah, I'm just obsessed with the way people speak and what they say.
Now, it's one thing for you to love learning to imitate and learning new accents and getting really deep into that. It's another for you to make videos and post them and explode on the socials. Will you talk about that transition? What happened? What was happening in the world when you started posting these videos on social media?
It was the heart of COVID. And I started putting a couple like accent videos that like started doing sort of marginally well. And then I was watching the Pirates of the Caribbean, and Johnny Depp's mouth in that movie is so weird. He just makes very interesting choices with the way his mouth moves. And Keira Knightley, of course, is like the queen of like the like snarl acting kind of. And I was like, that's such an interesting thing. Like, I feel like there are certain actors that really lean into the way their mouth, like their mouth acting, you know, in certain movies and stuff. So I made that video and everything snowballed from there. And I think people were kind of like, oh, this is an interesting into impressions, or like an interesting sort of like aspect of an impression. But I had no idea that I was any, like, you know, when you're in theater school, no one's going like, so let's work on your, you know, Weird Al Yankovic impression. No one is encouraging impressions in theater school and stuff. So I never thought it was something that people would necessarily want to hear from me about, but I was wrong. And, you know, 3 years later, here we are, still making those videos.
Yeah. If it's okay, I'd like to talk with you about a few of them that are quite outstanding.
Sure.
They're super famous for your Drew Barrymore.
Yes.
If I may ask you to maybe speak as Drew Barrymore.
Sure.
Talking about what drew you to doing Drew Barrymore.
So Drew is, she seems like such a lovely person and she's been through so much. And on her show, she's always getting emotional with people and taking off her shoes and getting on the floor and getting eye to eye with people. And she's been through so much. She's so resilient. And that's why I love Drew.
And then there's your famous impression of Jennifer Coolidge. I just want to be bathed in her voice right now. So whatever you want to say, I'll take
it. Oh, 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 God. Well, hi. Wow.
That's all you have to do over
hi.
And over.
I love, she always has little videos where she'll, they'll pan over to her and she'll just be like, hi. I love her. I love her. It's my dream to meet her in person.
Has Jennifer Coolidge or anybody that you've imitated reached out to say that they've heard it and what they thought?
Yeah, Jennifer very generously follows me on social media now and has messaged me before about my impressions in a positive way, which is fantastic. Yeah, I've not had anybody be like, send me a cease and desist or anything. I mean, to be honest, I really try. I feel like with my impressions, I really do try to like actually capture the essence of the person. I think there are a lot of impressionists who like, I love what they do, but what they do is sort of like lampoon or like take a little, an aspect of someone's like personality or like, you know, like a habit they have and blow it up into kind of like a parody or like a caricature, which is, I just think, a separate thing. So I think my impressions are, I really try to make them like as respectful as possible and really like as close to the real person as I can be. So no one's been like, hey, you stop doing that. If anything, like a lot of the people that I do impressions of like follow me on social media now and yeah, have sent messages and it's really cool. I've met a couple now like in person, which is just like the coolest thing ever. So far, so good.
It does feel like you embody these people.
Thank you.
Meryl Streep is a big one. I'd love to hear. Would you please channel Meryl Streep for me?
Well, with Meryl, it's sort of about, you know, you get kind of introspective and sometimes you'll do kind of a laugh or, you know, back down. And her mouth, her lower face is almost sort of like a little heart. And a lot of people are like, you're doing Miranda Priestly. But I kid you not, if you watch Meryl in interviews, she does do that kind of like, she'll laugh for a sec, but then she'll get very serious. She's very, like it's very, everything's yummy kind of. So just shouting that out. I do so much research. I watch so many videos of these people doing interviews and whatever. So when people are like, that's more like her character or whatever, I'm like, watch the interview from 2017. That this isn't this. This is a direct quote.
Mary's got receipts.
I've got receipts.
And something we haven't talked directly about, but you've brought it up a couple of times, is the mouth specifically, like
yeah.
As almost like as a starting point. Do I have that right? Is that what it feels like?
For sure. I mean, I think, you know, our mouths hugely impacts the way we form words, our accents, our voices. Like, it's funny, a lot of the, when I do like the tooth acting stuff versus like lip acting or, you know, whatever, the way that we hold our mouths varies across different accents, different countries. So it is a great starting point. I think, especially for people that are starting to do impressions, like just starting to try different things out, it's like an easy way to jump into certain people.
Yeah. And the people who've had a long career for you to follow, it's so cool because I mean, they're ultimately the same people. You're imitating them as they are, almost no matter what character they're playing, more or less. I think about Winona Ryder.
Yeah.
And, you know, she's got decades and decades of stuff for you to be looking back at. Can you talk about,
yeah,
as Winona Ryder, if that's okay, what drew you to Winona Ryder?
So for Winona Ryder, there's this like, she has these S's that are sort of, I go very quiet for Winona Ryder. She's always sort of whispering, but she always sort of looks a little confused. Like it's really in her eyes, less than her mouth, sort of. So it was really her eyes that drew me to her. And also everyone was like, you look like her. And I was like, yeah, kind of. So, which is the big, greatest compliment of my life. But yeah, I think really for her, it's her eye, like her eyes are so recognizable. And I don't know, she's just this like ethereal person. And I think as she gets older, she does shift a little bit. Like there is a bit of a, like her in Stranger Things is very different than her in like Edward Scissorhands or something. You know, there's like a
Heathers.
Yes, exactly. Like I think there was sort of a delicate thing that now that she's a little older, there's more of like a fierceness to her that I think is cool. And the characters are different, obviously. But yeah, she's awesome. I think she's so cool.
You brought up S's. Can we talk about S's?
Yeah.
It's funny. There was somebody who wrote to me and she said, I love the way you use your S's. I listen for them. And of course, I'm trying really hard not to be over aware of how I use my S's. And they're, you know, I pre-tape and I record all my scripts over and over again. So if an S sounds kind of lazy or there's some spit in there or something, I can re-record it. Yeah. And so I'm pretty meticulous too. But when you are hearing S's, it's possible that you're hearing more than I am or we are because we haven't given it that much thought.
Yeah.
Talk to me about what you're hearing when you hear different S's.
Oh my gosh. I mean, I'm hearing like when you think about like Drew Barrymore, her S's like are specifically a certain way because she uses her lips to make the S's, like rather than, you know, just a normal S with our teeth. And then when you think about like Matthew McConaughey with his like sort of shush, like sound sort of like that. And it's like a whistle. And I think speech language pathologists comment like that it's like your oral posture. Like it's the way your mouth is arranged, basically, like your teeth are arranged and the way your jaw sits and your, you know, you're in your, I am not trained in it, so I can't speak exactly to it. And I've talked also on my page a lot about like, you know, different R sounds, like when people do like sort of curled under R's like that. Every part of your mouth is so unique. And I love that different actors, that everybody in the world, but especially like different actors, it's almost like their calling card. It's like the thing that makes them unique is oftentimes the way they pronounce words, which I think is so cool. Anyway, now I'm back to mouths.
You just made me think about how we did a show recently about a man who had foreign accent syndrome. He had a mini stroke and he's from the American South. So he has like a deep Southern accent. 13 years ago, fell, hit his head, had a mini stroke, developed a British accent and for 13 years had it. And after our interview, about 2 months later, it just faded and he got a Southern accent back and we reconnected and recorded again for the final segment of the show. Absolutely bonkers. It was crazy. But that's, we talked so a cool. lot about, we talked about how our voices say so much about who we are, and in his case, who he isn't, but still who he is by someone who's going through this transition. And so I wonder when, you know, you mentioned how your antenna is kind of always up listening for these new sounds to see if you would maybe interpret it for yourself or just put it on in your own mental library. I wonder when you hear yourself talk, if you've given yourself any sort of self-consciousness or more inquiry as to the way you speak naturally after doing all of this and being so aware of all of everybody else's voices.
You know, I didn't used to like the sound of my own voice. I think a lot of people feel that way where there's that sort of weird, like, whoa, that sound coming out of my head feels so different from what I'm hearing right now. But I honestly think like just by hearing myself over and over now, like through like rewatching videos and editing videos and stuff. And I'm sure, I wonder if you've had a similar experience, like hearing yourself through editing and on the radio, like you get used to it and you're like, oh, I kind of like that. Like, I like what I did there, or maybe I'll do more of that next time or whatever. But I definitely, have become more aware of like my mouth and my face, like what I look like. because I, you know, I am an actor. And so I've obviously seen myself in TV shows or commercials or whatever that I've been in. But to have like millions of people looking at your face all the time is a very odd thing to wrap your mind around. And a lot of times people will comment if I'm like, oh, tooth actors versus mouth actors, whatever. People will be like, well, which one are you? And like, I think you're this kind and I think you're this kind. So it really invites this sort of scrutiny into my own self and my own acting tendencies and stuff. So that's been weird. But vocally, I'm not self-conscious anymore. I used to be, but now I'm kind of like, that's cool that I can do that. I'm proud of it.
That was actress, comedian, and impressionist Mary Elizabeth Kelly. When we get back.
There are some people that I'm like, I need a massage.
On your face.
On my face after this.
Plus, SNL's Dean Edwards.
If you hear Bugs Bunny, then you can also do Erykah Badu because it's the same type of voice.
I'm Kyone Wolf. This is Audacious. Stay with me.
Support for this podcast comes from Hartford HealthCare.
Elevating Health is funded by Hartford HealthCare. A lot of people struggle with sleep apnea and with CPAP machines. Dr. Carl Muller, a head and neck surgeon with Hartford Hospital, describes Inspire, a surgical alternative to the CPAP approach.
Only about 60% of patients can tolerate CPAP real well. Inspire is a surgical alternative to CPAP. It's an outpatient surgery. It takes about 2 hours. And essentially what it does is it picks up when you're taking a breath and sends a 2-second electrical pulse to the tongue, which causes the tongue to stick out a little bit and stiffen and prevent the airway from collapsing.
Hartford Hospital has performed more than 200 Inspire therapy surgeries. If you've tried and failed with CPAP, you could be a candidate for this minimally invasive procedure.
Patients with moderate to severe sleep apnea are candidates. There is a weight criteria, so you have to have a body mass index below 35, and you have to have tried and failed CPAP.
To learn more, go to ctpublic.org/elevatinghealth.
This is Audacious. I'm Kyone Wolf. Today we're hearing from two people known for their celebrity impressions. In a little bit, you'll get to know Dean Edwards from Saturday Night Live. But now we're talking with writer and comedian Mary Elizabeth Kelly. Let's get back to our conversation.
Who is somebody that people have been asking for that you haven't gotten quite right yet, and it's really frustrating?
I like to pride myself on, like, if I really try, I could kind of do anybody. But a lot of times it's like, if it's a man with an extremely low voice, like, just the limitations of that, I can't quite get. And it frustrates me if I can't, even if I'm getting someone's like essence, it really gets under my skin if I like can't literally be them. Like that, it makes me, then I just kind of go, I won't post this because there's no point. But like, I'd love to kind of get more of like Adam Driver, his essence. Like, I love him and I think he's so impressionable. Like, I think he's got such great, interesting idiosyncrasies and stuff, but he's tough, especially because he's got this like very like intense, brusque voice. And so I haven't quite been able to nail that yet.
Yeah. And it has like this hollowness to it.
Yes. That's what's hard. I did a video that was like one word impressions of people. And I did him and I said, wow.
Whoa.
And people were like, I don't know about that one. And like, at the end of the day, it's a woman saying, wow. You know what I mean? Like,
wow. Wow. Oh, wow.
Wow. That's hot.
Wow.
But some of the male impressions, I'm like, I'm right in there. I can do it. You know, despite a lot of people on the internet are like, leave the male impressions to the men. And I'm like, okay.
There it is.
And then, you know, of course, you can't please everybody. Because then everyone else is like, where's Matthew McConaughey? So.
Happy New Year. Happy New Year. Happy New Year. What are you going to do with this new year? Are you going to do something great? Are you going to stay put? Are you going to do the same thing over and over again? The world is your oyster. You gotta crack it open. All right.
Are there any impressions you do that you don't want to do them too long because it hurts your body?
Yes. A lot of people. Kristen Stewart.
You imprinted on my daughter? She's a baby.
Everything's like really like intense and I get out of breath. Like I get lightheaded with her sometimes because there's a lot of like exhaling. Yeah, there are some people that I'm like, I need a massage.
On your face.
On my face after this. Honestly, like Jennifer Coolidge, she's pretty like everything's like kind of pushed.
I just want to point out that all you have to do is make a single noise when it works.
It's there. We're there. I mean, she has such an iconic essence. Like she's such a joy, but yeah, definitely people that have very strong bone structure or, you know, like, cause I really am contorting my face pretty intensely. So De Niro hurts. Suffer for my art.
I know that there are people who are listening to our conversation who maybe, like the two of us, grew up doing imitations and, you know, maybe they're already in the comedy world, maybe they're already in the acting world, and they're thinking, yeah, I would really love to get better at this. If you could give advice to those people listening as Jennifer Coolidge, I'd love to hear it. I think they would too.
Oh, consume. Just consume everything. Watch movies, watch TV shows. Just do it. Interviews. Oh, watch them. And just do it. Just do it. Seriously though, just do it. It's so like obvious, but everyone's like, I'm trying to start out doing impressions. What should I do? What should I do? I'm like, consume, 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 watch a ton of things, figure out like what is funny about what you're seeing. And just practice, just do it. Like just post. If you're like, I think I could do kind of a good Elmo impression, make a video, put it on the internet. Who cares? And then, people will tell you if it's good or not. They really will. They really will. So, but yeah, I really think it's like, it does take a level of getting past your ego, getting past, you know, the fear of like failing, whatever, and just doing it. You gotta just do it.
Mary Elizabeth Kelly, thank you so much for talking with me.
Thank you.
To see the amazing ways that Mary Elizabeth uses her face, go to ctpublic.org/audacious. People always ask comedian Dean Edwards to do his Denzel Washington impression. On Showtime's Comics Without Borders, Dean did an impression of Denzel asking someone to prom.
Okay, now you know I've been watching you, huh? Yeah, no, and you've been watching me too. Yeah, so I'm not sure how you feel. Want to know if you, I'm going to put this out there. Want to know if you might want to accompany. Me to the prom. Yeah, in 3 hours, yeah. Yeah? Ah, you like that, you like that. Good. Hey, one more thing. Hey, don't walk away. I need you to pick me up. I don't have a car, okay?
Now, Dean Edwards is known for other celebrity impressions, too. Eddie Murphy, Jamie Foxx, and even Monique and Erica Badu. So I asked him, when he's doing Denzel, for example, what's happening inside his face?
Denzel sort of sits on the back of his throat and, you know, there's a slight rasp to it. And as words come over his tongue, then they kind of drag the bottom of it, the top of his tongue. And then his S's are very sort of S. So instead of M-I-S-S-I-S-S-I-P-P-I, it's M-I-S-S-I-S-S-I-P, you know, those are the nuances that come from, you know, him being a New Yorker and you know, his teeth, I'm sure, have something to do with that. So when he's speaking, everything is sort of going through his teeth. And whereas, you know, somebody like Tracy sits on the top of the throat. You know, and everything he says is sort of pushing out. Everything he says is like someone just punched you in the solar plexus. You know, and so... And that's just something over time I wasn't consciously doing or studying But, you know, whether it was, you know, bug, everything Mel Blanc voice, you know, from Bugs to Porky Peg, you're like, oh, so when he's doing that, he's sort of nasally and slow, but then if you hear Bugs Bunny, then you can also do Erykah Badu because it's the same type of voice. You're staying there a little bit longer and everything is more rhythmic and along a wave.
Okay, so when you are going about your life, you're just existing in this world, whether you're watching TV or you're out with some friends at dinner, how much of your psyche is on alert to sort of interpret interesting voices to you? And how much is it, you know, maybe it doesn't happen all the time. I don't know. I'd love to talk about when something arises in you that you feel compelled to try to imitate.
If it's interesting, then it grabs my attention. And that can, you know, if I'm out at dinner, like a lot of impressions that I've done, you know, like someone was like, I didn't know you did Kevin Hart. I said, I can do Kev, not because he's a star, because he's a friend. And I've known Kev since the late 90s, you know. And so all of his affectations, you know, from the boom swear to God, you know, all of those things developed as he developed. But when I'm doing his voice or J.B. Smooth, you know, I've known J.B. since 1995. And so JP, you know, he has a little bit of lisp, but everything he says, you know, he kind of, everything goes up as he's speaking. The end of every ha-ha, at the end of every sentence, he's saying the exclamation point is his voice going up, you know, and so that's not me, that's not, you know, us hanging out and me saying, say something. That's me just picking up on it, you know. That's like I said to my friend recently, this really funny comic slash writer and producer. His name is Ian Edwards, and he tours with Joe Rogan, and he's one of the premier elite comedians that works in LA. And I told him, I said, man, I need you to blow up just so I can do an impression of you that people will recognize, you know.
Would you say that you could pick up on somebody's mannerisms pretty quickly, that maybe you don't need to listen to them for hours and hours to pick up on it? Or when someone is super famous and super well known and you've heard hours of them, that is more material for you to mine, and so you are more precise?
Yeah. Well, you know, what I learned during my 2 years on SNL, I never put the study of it, I shouldn't say to use, but I didn't realize what I was doing. So you know, growing up, I was big watching interviews. I loved watching everyone from, you know, Carson to Arsenio to, you know, Mike Douglas back when I was a wee little lad, you know, and they always had, in my opinion, you get someone's real voice when they panel, when they're sitting on the couch talking to someone and doing an interview. And so the Eddie Murphy that you get in 48 Hours or Beverly Hills Cop, you know, tell him Ramon and he might have herpes simplex 10, right? But then you see Eddie in like an interview, and he's like, nah, what, why? And it's the same, but it's more subdued, right? And so now he's what better time to know than there, you know? And so then you, it slows it down and it becomes less of the character and more of the actual person. And so when I was on SNL, if someone, like I remember I just did an interview with Sway from, you know, SiriusXM, Sway in the Morning. And of course, NBC is his run on MTV, and also Sway and King Tech, their radio show from back in the early 90s. And Sway told me, you did me on SNL, and it was during this, it was during, like, they had a spoof of Destiny's Child called Gemini's Twins with Maya Rudolph and Anna Gasteyer. And they, one day, he's like, yo, how'd you know to do me? And I said, because I'm a fan of pop culture and entertainment. And so the Wednesday morning that I showed up, and saw that Maya and Anna had written this sketch that we were going to rehearse in a matter of an hour or two, I'm like, well, you know what? I've seen Sway, and so I know his voice is kind of in here. And we had a research department on SNL, and research was, you'd say, can I get some video on Sway? And back then it was videotape. Now it's digital, so it's even quicker. Now you can just find everything on YouTube. But they would go and get us tapes, and I'd watch and look for his nuances and then how he moves, just to add a little reality to my portrayal of him. And Daryl Hammond was like the master at that. Daryl would just get tapes and close his office door. And then you see him emerge doing all these various people. And so that made me say, okay, I guess there is a science to it. I just had never been as organized. And I think SNL helped me sort of organize an approach to doing someone that I wasn't used to doing.
When you were at SNL, there were times where they needed impressions of Black celebrities, and you were at times passed over in favor of your white castmates.
Yeah.
What did that feel like for you?
Oh, it sucked. I mean, it was more frustrating because I think the biggest frustration was, this is not equal because they're never going to have me play Tom Cruise, you know? And so that's for me the biggest frustration, where, you know, there would be something sort of thrown at me where they say, hey, we're going to have you play this famous character or famous celebrity. And then at the last minute, they're like, oh, you know, we're going to have you play the African delegate, and we're going to have someone else play it. And that used to annoy the hell out of me, but I wasn't in a position to really challenge it, because I think the nature of why you're at the show, you're vying to get on the air. And so when you get an opportunity, you're like, all right, well, here, let me flip this and play this out to the best of my ability. But no, it was hella frustrating anytime that happened.
You felt like maybe rocking the boat wasn't worth it.
Yeah, because it was the institution, you know, and I know from Garrett Morris to Chris Rock to Damon Wayans to Tim Meadows all experienced the same. Because I had conversations with some of the, you know, senior hair and makeup people that would, you see my frustration and then come and talk to me in my dressing room. They're like, I remember them saying to me, I remember going through this with Chrissy or going through this with Timmy, you know. And so that was very, very frustrating.
When I was a little kid, I did impressions. I was born in 1980, just to place my era. So I would do George Bush and I would do Ronald Reagan. And I thought they were pretty good for a little kid. But when I would do it, I would feel like this click over into like, read my lips, no new taxes. And even though I'm a little like fourth grader doing these impressions, I felt like I was, for just a moment, in the president's body. When you think about all the impressions you do, which ones do you feel most excited, like most embodied? Like when you do it, you are just brought to a different kind of life that feels special.
Denzel, Tracy. I've seen a handful of people do Cat Williams. Like, no, nobody, baby, nobody is doing Monique right now. To me, those ones are fun, because when you're doing something that nobody else is doing, it just makes it fresh and new. People recognize that you're sort of breaking new ground. Like somebody said to me, what about Steve Harvey? I said, yeah, I can do him. So, well, yeah, you need to do Steve Harvey. I said, no, because Godfrey is sort of like, that's Godfrey's thing. And he's sort of known for doing Steve Harvey. I actually did Steve Harvey when I auditioned for Mad TV. After the audition finished, the casting director was like, who else can you do? I said, I don't know, throw somebody at me. And she was like, Jamie Foxx. And so I was like, yeah, you know, I can do Jamie. I'd have to probably study it a little bit. But, and she was like, Steve Harvey. I was like, well, the thing y'all have to understand, and never having studied it or anything, but I just, you know, I knew how to do it, but I never had a joke to go with it. And then when I saw Godfrey started doing Steve Harvey, and he has that, what, well, you know, like he played with Steve's diction, and I was like, that's the nuance, right? That's the code, right? That's the secret code, a secret sauce that just makes it, takes it over the top. Enjoy doing Luis Guzman, because everybody knows Luis, and he's, you know, he's this Puerto Rican from New York City that you've seen him in a million movies and one, and now he's Gomez and on Wednesday on Netflix, and it's that, to me, that's fun because nobody's doing it, you know, and so then it becomes fresh to me, and when something is fresh, then it's exciting. Because then I'm like, all right, where can I go with him? And he's not somebody that you've seen do a lot of interviews. So any interview that I've seen, I'm like, oh, okay, I can use that. I can play along with that. I for years I wanted to do John Leguizamo. John Leguizamo is almost the exact same as Adam Sandler. They both had the same. It's just that Shanga is a little. He gets a little silly. You know, John Leguizamo. He's cool. He's cool. Benny Blanco from the Bronx. You know.
That was comedian and Saturday Night Live alum Dean Edwards. After the break.
I guarantee that you are going to leave here with a smile. But let me do it the way that I want to do it.
I'm Kion Wolf. This is Audacious. Stay tuned.
You're listening to the new investigative reporting podcast, In Absentia, which means you're interested in getting to the facts and uncovering the truth. If you'd like to help us continue our investigative work, consider making a donation. Visit ctpublic.org/tapsupport and contribute today. That's ctpublic.org/tapsupport. Thank you for being a part of the Accountability Project.
Many factors impact a child's achievement. To start, they need the basics like access to healthy food and quality health care. Join me, Lucy Nalpathanchil, as Connecticut Public and the Connecticut Black and Brown Student Union host a one-hour conversation about the importance of safe housing. Wednesday, May 8th at 6:30 p.m. at the Guard Arts Center in New London. Register at ctpublic.org/safehousing.
This is Audacious. I'm Kion Wolf. Dean Edwards hit the national stage when he was a cast member on SNL in the early 2000s. His celebrity impressions helped get him that gig, and they're an even bigger part of his comedy now. Let's get back to our conversation. You had to have met some of the people that you imitate when, like Tracy, I was about to say Tracy Jordan. Tracy
Moore. That's how well he played the character. Exactly. 30 Rock.
Like when you meet people who you've imitated, how has that gone? Have they been totally flattered and in love with it?
Well, Tracy wasn't a fan of it until recently. Tracy, well, I mean, we were on SNL together and he wasn't, he found out I was doing an impression of him. And I think he misunderstood it as me sort of making fun of him, which I wasn't. And, you know, he spoke to me about it. And so I had stopped doing it. But then I think I told Jeff Richards, who was a cast member on SNL, he played Drunk Girl. And I think I told Jeff, who then told like Rachel Dratch, who told Amy Poehler, who told Tina. And then everyone's coming up to me, you know, like, Dean, you do Tracy. I'm like, I mean, yeah, but he doesn't want me. Let's hear it. I'm like, I don't want to get in trouble. I don't want you to get me in trouble. And fast forward a couple of years later, Tina Fey actually wrote an episode based around that story. She wrote an episode of 30 Rock based on one of the characters doing an impression of Tracy Jordan, Tracy Morgan's character. And they called me in because the actor that was playing the role couldn't do an impression of Tracy. So I had to loop for them. I just got a residual from it, as a matter of fact.
When you are out and about and people know that this is a skill you have, they may be like, hey, hey, do a Denzel. And I project that I would be like, I'm not your puppet. I'm not just going to do it. Like, is that how you feel when people say do fill in the blank?
It's two-sided, right? So generally when I'm headlining, like I was just at the Addison Improv in Addison, Texas. And I know in order to sell tickets, they probably used a clip of me doing some impression, usually Denzel, because there's like a popular Denzel prom date clip from that's on YouTube that most clubs will always use because people are like, oh yeah, that dude, the dude that does Denzel, oh, Dean Emmons, right? So over time, I've learned not to take offense to it because it just means people appreciate something that you do. But there's also a way to approach it. You know, if I'm on stage for, say, 70 minutes and I've done, you know, a bunch of impressions of everybody from Will Smith, you know, to Tracy Morgan, to Cat Williams and so forth, but they haven't heard Denzel, people get antsy. And I like to close because there aren't too many things that are going to close as strong as the joke I have or some of the jokes that I have with Denzel. So I like to close with Denzel, but 55 minutes in, people will yell out, do Denzel, you know, because they start getting nervous. And I usually have to check people when I hear, yo, dude, I'm like, I got you. Don't worry. I know why you came. But let me do what I want to do the way I want to do it. And I look on some Denzel. I guarantee, I guarantee that you are going to leave here with a smile. But let me do it the way that I want to do it versus how you want to present. Because no one wants to feel like a you know, a wind up monkey or some wind up doll. So it's like, trust the process. If I made you laugh all this time, I'm going to give you what you want, but I want to do it the way I want to do it first.
What about when you're at, you know, a nice dinner party, or you just met someone and they recognize you and it's, you're not on stage and they say, do Denzel?
More than likely, my way to shut them down is to say something like here, you say it to me and I'll give you what I might do.
Oh my God. Oh my God. Dean Edwards, will you do Denzel? Please do Denzel.
I'm not going to do Denzel, but there you have it. Ah. Right. And so it's to let, and I'll say, I normally don't do this for people because I'm trying to have dinner with my family. Like, so if you I usually will like reprimand people or check them, but in a manner that's lighthearted because I don't want anyone to think I'm being stank or funky, but I also need them to understand that this is someone's birthday party and this is not what we're here for, you know?
I wish I knew what it was like for you to see me or anyone in the audience. Like every time during this whole interview, you've made me laugh. Like I get tickled because you're just pulling it out of nowhere and it's so spot on. And there's something happening in my brain and in my heart and in my guts. And you see my face light up. What does that do for you?
Oh, well, that's invigorating because I was trying to tickle you. No, it's wonderful that anything that I'm doing is touching you and making you smile, which makes me smile. I mean, you know, we forget that sometimes we got into doing this because we like making the world laugh and like entertaining people. And so my friends and family from my wife to one of my closest friends that features for me told me recently. I think I was telling a story about something, and I think my wife said, you mind just telling the story? And I said, what do you mean? She said, well, you do everyone's voice when you're telling a story. And I was like, I didn't even realize that was something that I did, which made me laugh because that's like, even when I'm sitting there talking to you, it's not like I'm like, okay, now insert Luis Guzman, now insert, like, you know, it's like, it just, that's just me talking. Because I also get, I'm very excitable and I do enjoy doing this, you know.
Your wife is British and you've expressed fascination with the British accent. It's one thing to do impressions of people and it's another thing to do accents. And sometimes it overlaps, sometimes it doesn't. What would you say, and I just want to put a plug in here for the Scottish burr, I can't ever go to Scotland because here's what would happen. I would get off the plane and a napkin or something from my ginger ale would fall out of my pocket. And then some old, ugly, mean dude, and I'm into women, would say, "Excuse me, miss, you dropped something." And I would fall to my knees and propose marriage because it's just the sexiest accent I've ever heard. Nothing tops it. That being said, can you do a Scottish accent?
I can, I'm sure, do a Scottish accent. I'm sure I'd have to, you know, I guess practice it. But if not that, then I could do Shrek. I'm sure if I can, I could do Shrek and then I'll do Donkey.
Is there an accent that you are most drawn to?
I like, you know, like Antonio Banderas and the Spanish, that there's something Spanish. It's very, very sexy. And so when you hear, like, Salma Hayek has the same accent, but it's a softer voice, clearly. most accents, I love Caribbean from West Indian accents to, I was just on a ship. Filipino is very, you know, I like hello, Mr. Dean, you know, it's very sing-songy. But it's also, I don't know if that's how the accent is, because they're all, most of the Filipinos on the cruise ship are in service, so it's very friendly. Hello, ma'am. Hello, sir. But you know, I'm obviously, based on my wife, I have a preference for Brits. And it's when you get to do an impression of someone that has an accent, it's just that's even more, it's more fun, because it's like you're hitting two birds with one stone, you know. And so, like, we were Sir Ian McKellen, as an example, Gandalf, something wonderful about how he speaks, but then you also realize he has the same, almost the same exact voice as Sir Patrick Stewart. They're both almost the same. There's slight differences where Patrick Stewart, he sounds a little, he enjoys the sound of his voice, where Sir Ian McKellen is more refined and you can see his head moving ever so gently and having sort of a cocky, like a George Clooney cocky head. Did I say cocky? Yes, you did. You did say cocky. Whereas Clooney, just everything he says, he just has cocky head. I call it cocky head. Do you call it cocky head? I call it cocky head.
Are there ever any impressions you do when, after you're done, your face hurts or your body hurts?
You know what? Doing Chris Rock hurts because literally stretching the limitations of your voice. Chris is very shrill when he speaks. He's a wonderful voice, but I have a joke I'm doing now where I'm talking about, it's actually, if you go to my website, deanevers.net, I think there's a clip of me doing this Chris Rock, Will Smith slap joke.
Damn, the breath's been down 5 feet away, get a little bit closer, his hands open. Okay, maybe gonna give me a high five. They'll say, good job on that joke. Put my damn, his hand just passed my head, and give me, damn, the breath's been just slapped me in the face. Say it ain't so. I ain't saying nothing out of line. I ain't saying nothing wrong. I said your wife look like Demi Moore. I didn't say your wife look like Flavor Flav.
Anytime I do that joke, because I'm doing, it's probably like doing Chris Rock for 90 seconds, and it's a long joke, and by the end of the joke, I usually would say, what gets cut out of the video is me saying, "Doing Chris Rock hurts your throat." Oh, she can't say that around everybody. They'll misread it.
Makes me think there should be like a job for physical therapists who specialize in people who do impressions. Another Chris Rock, come on in.
Did he sound like Chris Rock too? What are the chances?
Well, Dean Edwards, thank you so much for talking with me.
No, thank you, guys. It's been a pleasure.
Audacious is always lovingly produced by Khalil Rahman, Jessica Severin DiMartinez, Meg Fitzgerald, Meg Dalton, and Katie Tolarski at Connecticut Public Radio in Hartford. And if you like this episode, and let's be real, you really loved this episode, check out the one we did with comedian Zarna Garg, and another one with three stand-up comics who have disabilities, including Maysoon Zayed, who has cerebral palsy, stand-up comedian and actress Danielle Perez, who uses a wheelchair, and Benny Feldman, who has Tourette's. Or for something completely different, you can check out the episode featuring people who have really great memories. Like, they can remember almost every single day of their lives. You can hear all of our beautiful, funny, mind-blowing episodes on your favorite podcast player and at ctpublic.org/audacious, where we'll also have a link to that episode I mentioned featuring the man who had foreign accent syndrome for 13 years. Until one day, he didn't. You can stay in touch with me on Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok at Kyone Wolf, and you can always send an email to audacious@ctpublic.org. Thank you very much for listening.